let the pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll first start with the election of Supervisor Dick Monteith as 2011 chairman and Supervisor William O'Brien as the vice chairman for the Board of Supervisors. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Passed. As my first duty, I would like to welcome our new board member, Carrie Whitrow. Congratulations and thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Chairman Monteith, for joining.
Let's see here. We have public comment at this time, and I believe we have Deborah Harper.
Good morning. Welcome.
Morning. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
A few weeks ago, I was able to show, and I appreciate the ability to show that, and today also was an x-ray. The CT of a head. CT of a head. And the goal in this project today is to encourage patients to participate in their health care with their physicians, and to encourage the physicians to participate with their patients' health care. Because in the CD we're about to see, what I'm going to show you did not get mentioned in the report. That's the brain, and it clearly shows degeneration around the top. The black areas is what I'm told, air, okay? And originally last time I showed you the CD, there was a foreign object that the clerk circled around, and that air right there at the base of the skull is further degeneration from what that foreign object caused. There's a foreign object in the anterior portion, which if you're looking at the screen, it's on the left-hand side. It looks like a floppy little pod. I call it a snail-shaped antenna. That's what the foreign object is, and there's many of them throughout various x-rays. Those objects were not mentioned in the x-rays. The air and the degeneration on the top, my theory is, and no one has confirmed it yet, is from those little antenna shapes. She's going to flip through to show the air and the further degeneration on top. It's just shocking. Lots of air at the nose on the anterior, which is the left-hand side of the screen. I'm not a radiologist nor a physician, but I can tell you that's not what everybody's CT head looks like and the brain. And thank you for letting me show that.
Thank you.
I have the original, if you wanted to take a peek at it, to compare.
Okay.
You have that?
Not at this time. Thank you. That's not this time.
Not at this time?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Sure. At this time, we're going to be holding A1 for a separate vote. We also will be pulling B8. Someone has asked to speak on that subject.
And I do have a correction on A5D. We had indicated on the reappointment Charlotte in both Staff Recommendation 1 and Staff Recommendation 2. That name should only appear in Staff Recommendation 2. So we would be asking that we delete Charlotte from Staff Recommendation 1.
Do you have that one? Do we have a motion for the remainder?
Motion for the remainder.
Okay. Is there a second?
I will second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those in opposed? Passed. We now will be, let's see here. Which one? A1? Okay. We now need a motion to approve of minutes for December 21st.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And I think I'm going to abstain because I wasn't a part of that.
That's correct. Well, thank you. Passed. At this time, we will, let's see, we'll discuss the 8. Mr. Drake, you have requested to speak on B8.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Members of the board. Actually, it's more for information. I'm curious. I was here during the rancorous, if you will, discussions regarding the sheriff's reductions. And I guess I truly wasn't aware that the 3 positions in Riverbank that were part of the overall, those are supposedly revenue neutral to the board, correct? I'm asking the question, if they're revenue neutral, and if so, why were they included in the totals when the sheriff had his, what I can only describe as a politically motivated diatribe with his doomsday scenario about how many people were losing when apparently those 3 positions were in response to a request, an original request from Riverbank? I'm just curious. I'd like to know how it came about. I'd like to know if what I'm asking is true. Okay.
It's my understanding that initially, because of the cost increase associated with the different positions, the city of Riverbank was not certain that they would have funding to support the positions that are identified in this agenda item. Subsequently, they've gone back, reevaluated their budget position, and feel that they can, in fact, afford the 3 positions and have asked to have them reinstated.
So when the sheriff's department was up here making their claims about how many the numbers we were losing, in fact, we were actually losing less than 3, or 3 less than the original total. I think there were 27 positions involved altogether. We were losing them, in fact, but it was in a request from Riverbank that we were losing them. Because everybody seems to be, I'm sorry, I don't mean to.
Yeah, and I would say, and yes, that's true, but the positions were identified as Riverbank contract positions.
Well, I understand, but I guess when I sat over here, I didn't realize that those positions were revenue neutral to the board.
Yeah, and they are.
Because all we saw were the big flags about how many deputies we were losing, and he was being forced to cut. But those 3 shouldn't have counted as far as his forced to cut, from the way I read this now. Because, again, they were revenue neutral. He was just including them at Riverbank's request.
That's correct. Yes and no, and the caveat is that had they not been included, then the county's cost associated with supporting the contract would have increased by an amount equal to those 3 positions. So in fact, there was a direct correlation and a need to address Riverbank's inability at that time to fund the 3 additional positions, because the alternative would have been that the county general fund through the sheriff's department would have had to pick up the cost, and it would therefore have not been revenue neutral. So in order to keep it revenue neutral, the sheriff made the recommendation to reduce those 3 positions to keep the budget for the Riverbank contract in balance.
So if you approve it today, then it's not going to cost the county anything at all.
That's correct. That is correct.
That is correct.
Thank you very much for your clarification.
Thank you. Is there a motion to accept B8?
Motion to approve B8.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Approved and passed. Okay, we go now to B10. It's the joint power agreement for the Modesto Regional Fire Authorities. I'm going to turn this over to Chief Executive Officer Rick Robinson.
Yes, it is a pleasure for me to introduce this item this day. It has been an effort of the 3 chiefs you see before you that has, I think, been more than anything driven by passion to find a way to better serve their communities in the entire region. I also want to express my appreciation to Supervisors O'Brien and former Supervisor Jeff Grover for the work that they've done on the ad hoc committee, working so closely with Chief Hinshaw and our other 2 chiefs that are in the audience today. This has not been an easy endeavor. As a matter of fact, over the last 5 years, we've had 2 or 3 false starts, and we always have believed that a solution that included a regional approach to administering and delivering fire and emergency services was the right solution. We simply did not have the right ingredients and the right combination of leadership in place at the right time in order for it to happen. So it is with a great deal of enthusiasm that I turn this presentation to Chief Hinshaw.
Good morning, Chairman Monteith, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doring, Gary Hinshaw, your Fire Warden, Office of Emergency Services. With me as co-presenters this morning are Interim Fire Chief Mike Krause from the City of Modesto and the Salida Fire Chief Dale Skiles. I look back over this and I was thinking for the last couple of days how to even do an intro into this. This is a culmination of work over many years, and I will say many years, in the effort that this dates back to the early 1990s and beyond, that many of us believed in the fire service, excuse me, that we could do a better job together collectively than we could apart. Excuse me. It was many allied agencies and many folks that came together. Thank you. But I think that the thing that I'm most proud of is I'm proud of the fact that you as policymakers have provided us as fire service leaders an opportunity to present a more efficient and effective method to provide fire and life safety to the communities we serve. That has been the mantra, that has been the direction, and that has been your direction to us, and I want to start by thanking you for that. Next slide. I think for us to start, we need to go back and take a look at the trends over the last 20 years that have impacted the fire service and brought us to a point where really we believe the recommendation is a collective fire service. The trends, call for service, if we go back prior to 1986, we provided fire suppression services and that was it. In 1986, we expanded those services to include EMS. And in the first few years, there were just a select number of calls. Then it was expanded to include basically all EMS calls, crime scenes, and traffic collisions. Back in the 1990s, we ran very close to about 12,000 calls throughout Santa Claus County. That excluded the city of Turlock. We don't have the numbers for Turlock City, but that's for all the fire agencies within the county. Today, we run approximately 45,000 calls for service with that same delivery platform. In addition to EMS, our environment has changed to include an all-risk response environment. Following 2001, the Homeland Security was created, and we have this thing called CBRN. Chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear. I don't think many people in the community know that our fire service has been trained and carry atropine trupan chloride, which is an anti-nerve agent that's specific to a chemical or a biological, to a chemical release. Their scope of work has expanded exponentially as well as their call volume. Looks like. And I think we have to paint the picture of how many people provide that level of service. In the 1990s, we had well over 1,500 firefighters that provided from a combination paid or volunteer platform our fire and life safety mission. In 2010, we have less than 500 that meet the certifications and qualifications that are submitted by each of the agencies. And I think if you drill down, we need to commend our volunteers because call volumes that exceed about 250 calls for service a year is really the threshold for their viability. And many of our agencies are running between 400, 500, 600, and 700 calls a year with a volunteer base. Our increased mandates, we watched legislative actions in the early 2000s that required that there were increased training levels for all of our firefighters. And I think during that period of time, we have seen OSHA become involved with us with airborne and bloodborne pathogen issues. We've expanded the mission from the mandates. They have increased basically huge impacts on their budget and on their time commitments of each firefighter to be certified and qualified and maintain their level of training. Budgets. As we've looked at budgets, everybody's budget has fallen. So have the districts. Even though they're ad valorem property tax and have some assessments, many of our smaller districts have seen either a flat or a decreased revenue source for their activities. We have one district that operates on a $128,000 budget. LAFCO. We've worked with LAFCO in the Municipal Service Review, and I think that they've supported the fact that the fire chiefs and the county should look at a regional approach in providing these services, and it was mentioned in the last LAFCO report. In 2004, the county commissioned a study through the Fire Chiefs Association. The president of the fire chiefs at that time was Dale Skiles. We hosted it out in Salida. We asked all the fire chiefs within the county to come together and provide a vision of where the fire service should be in the coming years and how we should be preparing ourselves to provide that level of service. The outcome of that particular meeting provided the 6 service levels that are provided through the lesson countywide that are contractually provided by these 3 agencies that provide the non-suppression support services of fire prevention, training, communications, arson investigation, EMS, and fire administration. The concept of regionalization has been on the table for many, many years. We've seen it impacted or introduced in a couple areas within our county. Our concept of regionalization that came out of the 2004 visioning process had to be all-inclusive, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. Next slide. This is just a depiction from a map standpoint, the contiguous boundaries between the city of Modesto and Salida, as those 2 agencies, or these 3 agencies, with your approval, would come together to provide services through a unified umbrella organization. The County Fire Warden's Office is responsible for those non-suppression services in support of the districts, and we would continue to provide that through this platform. Next. We had made several attempts, I think, as CEO Robinson had acknowledged at the beginning, but I think that we recognized that for us to be successful, it really needed to be a joint effort with the policymakers providing the leadership and the direction, and us providing platforms for their review. And on June 22nd, 2010, the ad hoc committee was formed from the county, the city of Modesto, and the Salida Fire Protection District. The direction that we received from them was to develop a regional joint fire services agency and bring back recommendations and return to each of the governing boards for consideration. That is the culmination of that effort today. I want to acknowledge, because I think without these leaders in our community, we would not be here today, and I want to thank them. From the Stanislaus County Supervisor O'Brien and Supervisor Grover, and then from the county team, it was our CEO Rick Robinson, County Council Jack Doring, and myself. From the City of Modesto, Mayor Ridenour, and I believe he's here in the audience today, Councilmember Dave Lopez, and then City Manager Greg Nioff, City Attorney Raleigh Stevens, and Interim Fire Chief Mike Krause. From the Salida Fire Protection District, it was Director Tom Burns, who is here, I believe, in the audience, Director David Boyd, and County Council Bill Ross, and Fire Chief Dale Skiles. I think our guiding principles, we had to ask 3 questions for everything that came before us over the last 3 or 4 years as we've looked at this. And the first question that we needed to ask ourselves was to determine the most effective way to sustain and enhance a delivery system to the public. That's our charge. That's our first direction. Number 2, provide for a safety and welfare of our employees as they provide these levels of service to the community. And number 3, does it meet the mission and core values of our host agency or our primary agency? Does it meet the mission and core of Stanislaus County, the district, and the City of Modesto? The ad hoc committee evaluated several options, and we brought in issues from contractual relationships, contract services, MOUs, and within the first meeting, it was very clear from you as ad hoc members that the direction was to form a joint powers agreement between the 3 agencies. Each of the member agencies will have equal representation, and I'll show you that slide next. I think the other piece that was very important was to maintain the ability for each of the district or participating agency members to provide common powers that they may determine rightfully serve the community that they serve. Next slide. This would be the organization that's been recommended from the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors. One person would be appointed to the joint power agency from the City Council of Modesto. One member would be appointed, and from the Salida Fire Protection Board. The Joint Powers Agency would be made up of those 3 representatives, and the fire chief of this new JPA would report directly to the Joint Powers Agency. The benefits. We believe the benefits to enhance the resources and the personnel and all of those things that we do independently, if we do collectively, there are much better ways to provide that level of service. I chuckle sometimes when Chief Skiles, Chief Krause, and I are sitting in 3 or 4 meetings a week on the same issue representing 3 different agencies, and we just don't need to continue doing that. One person can represent the fire service on these issues. So it eliminates duplications of services. We take a look at the fact that I provide a fire marshal and fire prevention services, so does the City of Modesto. We believe combining those efforts will enhance our capabilities to provide fire prevention services, and the list goes on, and I won't go through that. Provides opportunity for joint purchasing, shared technology, training, and eligibility for regional grants. We've been successful over the last 5 years through Homeland Security, through some of the PISA grants, which are interoperability, and through some of the Fire Act grants to bring those here for the betterment of all of the fire agencies. But when you use the term regional approach, those are escalated to the top of the consideration list for eligibility. And we want to make sure that we're at the top of those lists and can capture some of those federal and state grants that may enhance our capabilities. We take a look at some of the specialized services that we might be able to provide in regional teams, and we're not just looking at the fire services. We look at hazmat, confined space, and some of these special operation levels that we have on our plates. We look at relationships with allied agencies, our sheriffs, our law enforcement, our ambulance providers. We think this is just the beginning of forming a better collaborative to serve the communities that make up Stanislaus County. One of the key elements that we believe is truly paramount in our success will be a viable, strong volunteer program. We believe that Salida has a program that we can emulate, duplicate, and share with other agencies that may choose to join this effort. And with that as a backdrop, we plan to use Salida's model as the foundation for our volunteer program. We see reduced staffing and we see some depth in our personnel, and again, it goes back to having a joint train officer, not three train officers. It goes back to having a single fire prevention bureau, joint purchasing for fire apparatus, shared fire stations. We've seen for years where we have fire stations within a mile of each other serving two separate areas or jurisdictions. We think eliminating some of that duplication is in the best interest of the public. This is the key to, I think, the success of this, and it really depends on levels of participation, but you made it very clear to us that a phase two opportunity for create the base and then open the door for the agencies that may be interested in participating. We have some of them in the room today, and maybe they'll speak about this opportunity. We think this is key to the future, that we can really support and be closer to some of these volunteer agencies that don't have the administrative staff to be at all of these meetings. We can do their communications, we can do a lot of their EMS coordination, some of their mandated OSHA requirements, and the list goes on and on, including finance and administration, as we would come closer together, try and maintain their identity, let them still serve their communities, but let us serve it through a regional umbrella of administration. So we think this is just the beginning of opportunities for additional agencies to come on board. In fact, the three chiefs, I spoke with Chief Skiles, Chief Krause, and myself, conferred in the last few days. If this process is approved by tomorrow night through the three agencies, we would intend to send out a letter inviting all of the other fire agencies to come to the table and have conversations about what a phase two might look like. I think in the funding, this is really important. Each of the governing bodies will determine levels of service. Modesto will continue to determine levels of service and funding for the service that the citizens of Modesto will receive, same with the county, same with Salida. We want to make sure that service levels are commensurate with funding, so if we see reductions, those reductions would be impacted in the areas that service levels or funding would impact those service levels, i.e. if we reduce the participation level of the county, then OES and the fire warden would take the brunt of that responsibility and reduce those services from our host or home agency. So we have the ability to set service levels commensurate with our funding. We think that we also have the ability to enhance or reduce funding, that the ability there of each one of the agencies would be that they would change the services that they provide to their community, and they have control over that as opposed to giving up total control. Next slide. These are the transition plans, and this is really, to us, where the work begins. The work of bringing a concept is just the umbrella. The detail starts here, and it would go forward over the next several weeks. Some of these can be implemented almost immediately. Some will take, if not weeks, to months. Some will take, actually, probably a couple of years. Some of our assets and fixed and rolling stock issues may take time to work through our legal sections to make those transitions, but operationally, we can begin making changes almost immediately. I'd like to commend the City of Modesto and Stanislaus County's personnel and HR departments. We came to them with a daunting task and asked them to combine these agencies, and after the deer in headlights kind of the glazed over look kind of passed, they got to work and they're really helping us, and I commend the mayor and the City of Modesto for their work on that. Budget development, you can see here we've got work to do on that one. Our asset and liability transfer, our fire prevention services, we believe that can begin almost immediately. Our Office of Emergency Services function now expands from two 24-hour call people to a breadth of nine, which is very, very encouraging. Volunteer programs were the cornerstone of where we move forward. And then the second piece is really this phase two partnership that we're very excited to begin if this process is approved. The next steps would include basically your approval, if that's your direction, this approval by the City Council. Tomorrow night we meet with the Salida Board at 7 o'clock, and then appointment of the JPA representatives to each of the agencies, and we will begin immediately with transitioning or begin on our transitional plan so that we can start making some changes. I'd like to close with a special thanks. I think we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for you as a board, the ad hoc members. A special thanks needs to go out to Supervisor Grover. He called us enablers over the years, and he always smiled and said that, you know, with you firefighters, you always find a way to come through. And I think he was right. So I bear that that term and endearment, and I think that's an honor to the people that are before you. I think without direction from our CEO or city manager and the Salida board, we would not be here today. A special thanks to Chief Krause and Chief Skiles. We have had many sleepless nights, long weekends, and after hours on this project for basically weeks and months and years. And without the legal folks, we wouldn't really be here. Bill Ross and Raleigh Stevens were terrific, but Jack, you were the guy that got us through this. And a special thanks from the three of us to you for letting us give us our thoughts and you making some reasonableness out of that, because we spent a lot of time. But thanks, Jack. You did a great job. So with that, we would open this for any questions that you might have. And I have two of the subject matter experts over here that probably can answer better than I can. Your questions.
Any boards have questions?
Just one, Gary, I'm sorry. This is great what you're doing. I think this is probably the beginning. Like you said, this is just the beginning, and I think there's going to be, from here across the county, these type of things that we'll have to be doing, putting these organizations together and regionalization. It'd be great if a year from now we could have you come back here and tell us, you know, just how this is going. Talk about efficiencies, you know, and savings and, you know, cost savings, what we've really accomplished here, services, increased services, just a report back from you to tell us, okay, here's what we did, and here's how we've saved, and here's the efficiencies that we've achieved. So just a year from now, it'd be great to hear from you.
I think we would love to do that and bring back where we think cost avoidance, efficiencies, and even cost savings might occur. But I think it's more important that we might have some of the other agencies in Phase 2 standing alongside us reporting to you. And I would look at Chief Krause. I think the newspaper today kind of indicated that we weren't sure on how the leadership was going to go in this. I think that's been determined that Chief Krause will lead this organization. And so I think with that, if, I don't know, Chief, if you have anything you want to say.
Chairman Monteith and members of the Board of Supervisors, Mike Krause, the Interim Fire Chief for City of Modesto, I would like to echo Chief Hinshaw's gratitude and for the support of the ad hoc committee, your support. We truly believe we're going in the right direction. We believe that that the citizens are directing us to go this direction, as they are you, and we're willing to take that step and make this work, and we'd be quite pleased, Supervisor Withrow, to come back to you in a year and give you a status report of what we've accomplished. Thank you.
Any other member have any questions?
I have some comments, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I think we, the Board of Supervisors, need to thank all three agencies that have been a part of this for so long. This really sets a model for other fire agencies to come in and join this fire authority. It's a model that works because you get the level of services that you pay for. We start spreading some efficiencies out, and we're able to do things that we haven't been able to do in the past. We know a lot of fire agencies are on the brink. It's a financial mess out there in their budgets. And this is a way to weather the storm and get through it. We really have to look at fire service as a whole, countywide, rather than 19 different agencies. And when we do that, we do the best for the public, because we're using our tax dollars as efficiently as we can with their health and safety in mind. I also think this is a model for other services that we government provide. As long as we have that model that everybody pays their fair share, I think that this can be copied into other areas that we do as government. It's a way to get the volunteer program healthy again. Countywide, not just in a couple of select agencies, but countywide. And I just think everybody involved, all the way down to all the firefighters and everybody else, this is a way of the future, I think. We have to look at regionalism.
Any other comments? Then I'd like to open it up to for public comment, and we have Bob Watt, Keys Fire District. Who wants to speak? Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Monteith, Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Goring. My name is Bob Watt. I am the fire chief of the Keys Fire Protection District. I was appointed a little over 2 years ago, and what did I step into a challenge, and I knew I was stepping into that challenge. And I've been behind the scenes for the past 2 years pushing this project forward. I'm excited about where it's at. I'm thrilled that it's before you, and that possibly by the end of the week it will be all approved and in place. But I'm also a bit disappointed in that my fire district's not part of this. I had really hoped to be part of phase one. It became clear to me that in order for us to move forward, that these lead agencies, Modesto, Salida, and Santa Claus County, need to be given the opportunity to put this together and put together a platform that the rest of us could to come on board with. In talking to my fellow fire chiefs throughout the county, there is some skepticism, and you know, I think of it as the courage that has been displayed here in the three organizations that are stepping forward and to make this work is a courageous step, and I truly hope that they'll be blessed for their courage, and I believe that they will, as will you. But know that with the history, the ownership, the community pride, that it's a difficult step for the fire districts to make. I believe in my heart that it's the right step. I think it needs to be made palatable to them so that they'll stick their foot in the water, and I think it's incumbent on us as leaders to make it feel good to them so that they'll jump in, and I think we can do that. I encourage you to proceed with phase two, get the rest of the fire districts involved. I won't go over all the things that Chief Henshaw mentioned, but I just sit there and shake my head with no staff. You know, the things that we are not accomplishing in the federal and state guidelines that we're not adhering to, I pray every day that that something doesn't happen in not only my fire district, but the volunteer organizations throughout Santa Claus County. So I'm pleased to hear you address them. I encourage you to proceed with phase two just as rapidly as possible, and to come up with a platform that that will be palatable to the fire district boards to be able to explore and become involved. And I think once it's there and it's up and running, that it will feel good to all of us. And you know, I share with my board there's two things that we need to be able to answer affirmative to on any decision we make, and that is, it's safe for our firefighters, for our volunteer firefighters, and is it good for our community? And this certainly meets both of those needs. And God bless you guys, and good luck. And I'm looking forward to being involved in the future. And bless you, the members of the board, and the courage that you're taking to take this step. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak?
I would like to make a comment relative to Chief Watt's statement. I've worked with Bob for a couple of years now, and it has been a pleasure. One of the challenges that we faced as three organizations trying to define a path forward that had an opportunity for success was the development of a platform that was sustainable. And that was a huge challenge, and that is principally one of the reasons that we had so many false starts, is that we tried to build something to meet everybody's expectations. We tried to make it a one-size-fits-all, and what we learned through the process was that we had to create a platform that was sustainable, recognizing that each of the jurisdictions would have different levels of service based on different levels of funding that were available to the districts. As we all know, in different communities, the community supports their fire agencies at different funding levels, and that translates to different levels of service that each of the jurisdictions can receive. So the largest challenge was finding a way to structure a base platform that could provide both the administrative support and the core fire and emergency service support, and yet recognize and respect the differences that exist in each of the different districts throughout Stanislaus County. I truly want to compliment Bob for pointing this out, because it's really, really important and it's critical to the long-term success and viability of this fire agency. And it's also critical to understand that this was not built as a one-size-fits-all. It's designed for those persons who are looking for an alternative to what they're doing today and are willing to meet the criteria that is established by this regional fire agency that will ultimately enhance and improve each fire agency's ability to serve their local communities at a level commensurate with funding that's available for those fire agencies.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak? If not, I'll bring it back to the board.
Yes. First of all, I'd like to thank everybody who's worked on this agreement. It's been a long process. And joint powers agreements are always difficult to put together, and this one has taken a long time, but I believe it's been worth it. For years, the lack of funding, the increased training requirements, and the shortage of volunteers has really hampered fire districts, especially the ones in rural areas. It's made the delivery of fire services increasingly difficult. This regional approach to delivering fire services and this type of collaboration should improve efficiency and eliminate duplication. I'm certainly in favor of it. I think it's a framework that we can expand on, and hopefully other fire districts will be able to come on board. Living in a rural area myself, and you know, I'm very aware of the challenges that are faced small volunteer fire departments with very little funding. So this should improve their efficiency and provide for better services and still keep these small fire districts independent. So I think it's a good start. We've got more to go on down the line, but this is a good framework to get off the ground with, and I'm certainly supportive of it.
Supervisor Chiesa.
There are no guarantees for success. I know that, but from what I've seen, the cooperation is unprecedented here. It really has been. And the willingness to explore different opportunities, and that's what's great. And the credit goes to the three of you, Chief Henshaw, Chief Skiles, and Chief Krause. I got to tell you that just sitting down and talking about these things is difficult for some people, and so I appreciate that. LAFCO members for years have allowed annexations without keeping the volunteer fire departments whole. I can assure you that Supervisors DeMartini and Supervisors O'Brien don't allow that anymore. They've been very protective of it, but that's probably not enough in the long term. And for fire protection in this county, we're going to need a volunteer fire department force in order for us to succeed. That's just a fact. Chief Watt brings up some very good points of the concerns of the volunteer fire departments that are the pride of the communities. And you're dealing with independent boards, and everyone knows that it's not just the five of us, the five city council members, and your board of directors. Now we're including, 13 other departments potentially with five members. So it's not going to be a one-size-fits-all, I agree. But I do agree with Chief Watt's assertion that we have to make sure it's palatable. It's not going to fit everyone, but we have to look and try and be encompassing, because the success of those fire districts are going to be just as important as this initial phase one. And so I'm looking forward to phase two, being engaged in that, making sure that there's an opportunity. But first we must succeed in phase one. You know, that's really important, and this is the first step. So I appreciate what the three of you have done. Supervisor O'Brien sitting on the committee bringing this forward, and this could be, just like he said, a model for everything else we do in this county, not just in the fire service. So thank you very much, and I will be supporting this.
I when I first came on the board 4 years ago, I was interested in the possibility that we might be able to go in this direction. My habit is to get onto the internet and start searching. And it was amazing to find how many counties and communities throughout the state who have been trying to accomplish this. And at the time, the one that was seemed to be the most successful, I think, was Orange County, and they were still having their problems. And as I watched that, as it developed, you could see where the flaws were coming in, and they did not seem to be capable to address the challenges to make it work. No question about this. This is a very complicated process. Complicated not only in its workings, but egos and many other subjects, which we won't get into because you've all been through them. So I truly want to commend everyone who's been involved in this, and you are more aware of the challenges than we because you live in it. It's within your family. Fire department is a family. And yet you've had to work out those differences, and there are definitely, which has been stated before, there are some people that will not accept the subject at all. So again, I just want to compliment you. I do believe well, you'll have success in this and the rest of the way, and you too will become the example of the state, because there are too many people that are not willing to sit down and listen. And I believe that that has been one of your greatest attributes, is to be able to do that on a very civil term and still have differences and yet shoot for the goal of accomplishment. So I want to commend everyone who was involved in this, and I am looking for the following success in phase 1, 2, 3 until you have it completed, which I rather doubt if you will all have it completely completed. It'll be a living thing, if I may express it that way. Because you're dealing with people, you're dealing with budgets of which you have no control, and so life will go on, and I believe we have it in capable hands. Does anyone have a motion at this time?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve all four staff recommendations.
Okay, thank you, Chairman O'Brien. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Chairman Keiza. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Passed and approved. Your correspondence at this time?
This board has received a letter from the Stanislaus County Superintendent of Schools regarding the 2010 Williams Report for Stanislaus County Schools.
Acknowledge receipt of report.
This board has received a Proposition 65 notification from the California Department of Toxic Substances Control regarding the 13 residential units in the vicinity of the former Elwoods Cleaners and the former Service Cleaners in Modesto, California.
Refer to the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received a letter from the Missing in America Project regarding the disposition of unclaimed remains of veterans and their dependents.
Refer to the Department on Aging, Veteran Services.
This board has received a copy of the comprehensive annual financial report for fiscal years ended June 30, 2010 and 2009 from the Stanislaus County Employees Retirement Association.
Acknowledge receipt of report.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Okay, acknowledge receipt of claims, referred to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Do we have any board reports?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to take a minute to welcome Supervisor Withrow to the dais, and looking forward to a great career of yours.
You know, if I could, just all the help that I've gotten from everybody, Christine, Liz, everybody, I just want to thank everybody, all the department heads, everybody who's put up with me for the last 6 months, questions and sitting with me. I appreciate all the outpouring of affection, really, from everybody to help me get started in this thing. So, and all the members of the board, so, and Jack and Rick. Thank you guys all.
Well, good to have you aboard. I will now adjourn this portion of board meeting. Excuse me?
One more report.
Oh, pardon me. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Also, I would like to congratulate Mr. Withrow on his election to the board. That affection he's talking about won't last long, and it's a very short time before you get your first negative letter to the editor, I can assure you. With that said, I did want to talk a little bit about this West Park project. This project has been dragging on for years, and judging from the public information request that we received on September 7th, there really hasn't been anything forthcoming on this project for the last 2 years. And what's troubling about this project that was supposed to create this 37,000 jobs, besides nothing being done on it, it now seems like it's maybe turning into a 600-acre solar energy project that will create no jobs. In the letter that the board had received on September 16, 2008, stated that the bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers was going to be no effect on the project. In fact, I have the letter here, and I will provide this letter to anybody who wishes to read it. And in part, it says that West Park is fully committed to the realization of this Crow's Landing Inland Port project. And I wanted to let you know that any speculation to the contrary is not warranted. Well, after 2.5 years of receiving this letter, I think that the speculation of whether or not this project is going to go forward is warranted, and that this county deserves some answers on where this project is. It's long past for that. And I would like to know where this project is today, how is it going to be financed, and why is it that the Port of Oakland has never expressed any interest in this project? They certainly never contacted me, and I'm not aware that they show the littlest interest in it. And what kind of jobs is this business park going to produce and when? And we better get some answers pretty soon, and if we don't, I think it may be appropriate for this board to terminate our exclusive agreement with this West Park and give them Mr. Camillus and his company a 30-day notice and start over again with the new RFP.
I think that that your comments are very appropriate, Supervisor DeMartini. What we will do is sometime between now and the end of February, we will bring to you a full report of the status of the West Park project, including any documentation verification that we're able to produce for the Board of Supervisors, and give you an opportunity to see what, if any, next steps you would consider relative to the current developer.
Supervisor Chiesa? Okay. Okay. Fiscal and Management Report, Executive Office.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we all know, the state of California through the Office of the Governor, has released a proposed 2011-12 budget that identifies $25.4 billion in budget shortfall. The budget as proposed would balance pretty equally expenditure reductions and an extension of certain specific revenues relating to the ongoing and continued funding of programs, principally in the public safety programs. The interesting aspect of this report, based on research from the County of Los Angeles, is that it appears that of the $25.4 billion in solutions, about 46% are directly associated with counties. So about half of the total solution would rest on the shoulders of counties. We assume, based on the governor's proposal to place a ballot initiative in June, that of that 46%, about half is the dependence on an extension of a income tax and sales tax initiative, as well as continuation of the VLF swap that had occurred about a year ago. Assuming that all of the pieces come together, we have a fighting chance. I think that it's way too early to begin to try to guess what's going to happen. The governor in his press conference yesterday was vague in defining how the solutions would be put together or what the ultimate outcome would be. Relative to counties, we're looking at a massive realignment of both human services programs and public safety programs, principally on the public safety side, in the detention and post-detention supervision of state prisoners. There is a promise that funding will accompany any program shifts, but a great deal of work needs to be done. The governor has appropriately identified this as a multi-month and I would say a multi-year project to finish what needs to be done. I was heartened to hear in his comments that the governor does recognize that there do exist certain constitutional statutory requirements, both state and federal requirements, that have to be identified and addressed. So unlike what we saw 6 months ago when we had large-scale cuts that were constitutionally and or based on state and federal regulation impossible to achieve, this governor has at least acknowledged that we have certain minimum standards that we have to be met, that we will have to meet, that are based directly on our state and federal responsibilities and state and federal legal requirements. So that's a step in the right direction. I think over the next several months we'll get a much better feel for where these discussions will go. We will be actively involved in that.
Mr. Chairman, I think there's a couple things we need to say on that. And one, probably for our CSAC rep, as the governor negotiates with the counties, there's got to be ironclad that if the funding doesn't follow in years in the future, that we're not held responsible. I think that's the number one thing that's got to happen. And the number two thing, interesting, as you were watching the governor's speech and he was asked a question, what happens if all those ballot initiatives fail? What happens for the funding to the counties? And he did not have an answer. So I'm leery. Leery at best.
Yeah, and it is absolutely appropriate to be leery. We have never, and I underscore the word never because that is an absolute, we have never had an experience with the state of California that ultimately has over a period of time been revenue neutral to California counties. There has always been the other shoe to drop that adversely affects our ability to deliver our local services. We are cognizant of the fact that the state has a $25 billion shortfall. We're cognizant of the fact that we are a political subdivision of the state of California, and so have a more direct tie to what happens in Sacramento than do cities and special districts. We're cognizant of the fact that we are the service provider for about 80% of the services that are delivered throughout California, and that is in partnership with the state of California. And absent funding, we're not quite certain what in fact will happen. The ballot initiative in June would continue about $12-13 billion in funding annually is critical to the governor's proposal. That in this economy could be something of an uphill battle itself. On the other hand, we all want public safety. We all want some assurance that the programs will remain at least at their core levels intact and the revenue initiative that will be on the ballot will be key to being able to continue to provide core services.
Well, as you can see, life is going to be interesting this year, and I would like to adjourn this board of supervisors and sit on the home supportive services public authority. It says a consent calendar for the minutes of December 21st.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Passed. At this time, is there, we have the public hearing is none, correspondence is none, items is none, public forum, is there anyone who wishes to come forward and speak? If not, I'd like to adjourn as public authority and reconvene as the Board of Supervisors to adjourn into a closed session, and I ask the council as an announcement.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have several matters to discuss in closed session this morning. First is conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 Subdivision A involving two cases. First case is Building Industry Association of Central California versus County of Stanislaus et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 622705. Second case is Leslie Cook versus Stanislaus County et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 660775. Second, we have conference with legal counsel to discuss significant exposure to litigation. We have one case pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 Subdivision BA, and we have one case pursuant to Section 54956.9 Subdivision B, capital B. And that involves the California Unions for Reliable Energy has expressed concern regarding the county's compliance with the California Environmental Quality Act for the Fink Road Solar Fink Road Landfill Solar Farm project. And we do not expect any report out.
Meeting now is adjourned.